Well, every couple of weeks, we turn paranormal investigator Joshua P. Warren loose, and he's come back with his paranormal moment this week, The Wishing Machine. And that'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Out of Asheville, North Carolina, Joshua P. Warren, founder president of LEMUR, the Paranormal Investigation Group. And without a drum roll, here he is on Coast to Coast AM. Josh, how are you?
Doing very well, George. Excited to be with you as always. And I have a very strange and wondrous topic for you tonight, the wishing machine.
I love wishes, especially when they come true.
Well, you know, this is a pretty positive segue. You know, sometimes I talk about some rather dark things.
Sometimes you're getting scary, and you've been getting dark lately. I've been worried about you.
I think we all have.
You know, that's not like you. You know, most of the time you're always looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Now you're looking for something else.
Yeah, well, you know, the idea behind wishes is it seems flaky on one hand. On the other hand, it's inspiring to think that we do have some ability to take whatever we desire and make it manifest. And, of course, it varies from person to person. But that's why I was always very suspicious of the idea of wishes coming true. As the old saying goes, if someone tells you that life can be easier, they're trying to sell you something usually. So, this particular story, however, has a potentially positive outcome. In fact, if you want to see a picture of the wishing machine, Lex has posted a photo there at coasttocoastam.com, and I'll explain more later about what you're seeing. But as you said, George, you know, I live here in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, and years ago, I started hearing about this woman who lived out in the country, an old-timer. They called her a wart whisperer.
What is that?
That's what I said the first time I heard about it. She claimed that one of her many abilities was to be able to make a person's wart disappear, which, of course, was a particularly handy skill hundreds of years ago, I guess. And I'd heard about this odd ability, and it just so happened that I had a friend who had a wart. So I said, well, let's give this lady a try. So this lady came over to my friend's house, and she said that her family had a variety of psychic abilities. And she looked at his wart, and she rubbed on it for a little while. I actually thought it was kind of gross. But a few days later, sure enough, this wart disappeared. And that's what she, you know, said was easy to do. One of the simplest things was to make a wart vanish. And so, you know, I asked her afterward how she did this. And she said, well, it's really simple. It's about connecting your will with the universe's mind, and that, you know, some people can do it naturally, but anybody can do this sort of thing and a lot more with a machine called a wishing machine. And she said, in fact, you know, with this machine, you can potentially make any wish come true so long as it's in harmony with the universe. So, you know, the idea of a wishing machine sort of sounded like a scam, but, you know, I like to experiment and even expose something if it's a scam. So I started doing some research, and I found a man who made these so-called wishing machines. Now, I won't use his name without his permission, but I'll tell you that I bought this thing for $300. And what I got looked like basically a sealed wooden box with 9 knobs on it, but really potentiometers, and each one reads from 1 to 10. So you can tune it from 1 to 10. And it has a sample plate and a rubbing plate. Now, I'll explain a little bit more about the design and how it supposedly works later. It's a kind of radionics technology. So, and again, if you just go there to coasttocoastam.com, you'll see a picture of it. And there's also a link to a free virtual wishing machine that I'll talk about later, because I'd like for the listeners to participate in a little experiment here as well. So when I got this thing, the first thing I decided was to wish for my $300 back, right? There's my little cosmic loophole, you know, my little cosmic trick. I figured out, and this makes sense. So I put a wish into the machine for that to happen, and I figured, well, since I'm wishing, may as well wish big, right? So I just added another zero onto it. Well, why not? And what you do is you put your wish in, and you set the thing aside for a while, and you leave it. So I left it alone, And I would say about 7 to 10 days later, I actually got an email from a conference planner saying that she wanted me to drive 1 hour down the road and speak for 1 hour, and she would pay me exactly $3,000. So you should have seen my jaw hit the floor, because, you know, I get hired to do these kinds of things a lot, but it was just for that specific amount to be offered so clearly up front was, to me, more than coincidence. So I started.
Now, you know, there are no coincidences.
Well, yeah, I think you and I definitely agree on that. You know, to think there's a coincidence would mean that there could be an effect without a cause. And that really defies everything that we know, even about physics. So, you know, I started taking this thing a lot more seriously after that and doing more experiments with it, putting in wishes for a variety of things, losing weight or changing somebody's behavior or improving the weather. And usually it worked quite well. But, you know, I didn't get carried away because I know that there are consequences for any energy that you put into the universe, according to what we were just discussing, the whole cause and effect thing. And sometimes you may not be aware of those consequences. You want to use it sparingly. And this kind of thing apparently is not guaranteed to work because, you know, I'm not the only person in the world. And sometimes the collective subconscious wishes of others sort of overpowers mine. And there are things that are inevitable. I mean, for example, I am going to die. You might be able to...
Yeah, is that a wish or a statement? I don't know.
It depends on what day you ask me. there are things that are you know, mortal limitations we have to deal with. So I became really curious about how this thing is supposed to work, and it's kind of hard to explain, but let me try. The idea here is that your mind has to be able to put in a request, if you will, to the cosmic mind, whatever you want to call that. But in order for that to work really well, you need the phone number of the cosmic mind. And there are two ways you can get that number. One is by tuning, and I'll get into that shortly. And the other is by using an artistic symbol that represents that number, because we know numbers can be represented as pictures and vice versa. And you put your wish into an artistic diagram. So to be more specific, this machine box has this weird circuit inside that doesn't really make much sense electrically. And the circuit connects these 9 knobs on the top, and each knob can be tuned on a scale from 0 to 10. So we have a sample plate, which is a little metal plate, and that's an input. So let's say my wish is that I want to be 195 pounds. So I put a photo of myself on the input plate, just like a voodoo practitioner.
Okay.
And then I put a piece of paper next to it that says 195 pounds. And I might even pluck a hair from my head to throw down there just so it really represents me thoroughly.
Okay.
So next we have a smooth plastic output plate with a little coil under it. And since we're talking about the power of the mind, I then would stroke my finger across the output plate as I turn knob number 1 slowly from 0 to 10. And at some point, I'll feel what's called a stick. And this is a moment when I can sort of perceive that plate to feel different in some way. And then I'll leave knob 1 and do the same thing with each other knob. And when I'm done, I'll have 9 knobs that each display a particular number. So since we're talking 9 knobs, that number could be, say, you know, 5, 3, 7, 8, 2, 6, 4, 0, 1, whatever. And that is called a rate. And so that is the phone number to the cosmos that says, I want to be 195 pounds. So I write that number down, keep it in a log for possible future reference. And then I move the photo and the hair and everything that represents the wish from the input plate to the output plate, and then just put the whole thing in a safe place and leave it. And somehow the message is transmitted to the cosmic mind, and then shortly thereafter, there's a good chance the wish will come true. And I know, George, that may sound somewhat complicated, which is why I want to tell you about a simpler method.
Okay.
And this is something that
you can do at home, right?
That's right. Everybody who's listening can do this tonight, and I hope that everyone will, regardless of what each person's wish is. And this deals with this sort of artistic symbology system. Let's say, God forbid, you know, we were obliterated by a nuclear blast tonight, and in 1,000 years, archaeologists who are descendants of those who survived find a schematic for an electrical circuit. And they may have no idea what it is and say, wow, what a weird form of art the ancients used to practice. But in reality, the drawing represents a technology that is lost. They have no way necessarily of understanding that. So in the same way, a lot of people who study ancient symbology feel the diagrams may represent technology that's lost. And the difference is the electrical schematic is the basis of a physical technology, but the ancient, you know, sort of sacred symbology is the basis of a more conscious-oriented technology. And so the idea is that if you have the proper symbols, then you can use the symbol, the schematic, if you will, itself as a tool to trigger our subconscious mind to connect with the cosmic mind. And that's where we get into the idea of the free virtual wishing machines that I want to experiment with tonight on the program.
Okay.
So there at coasttocoastam.com, there's a link to my personal website, joshuapwarren.com, and there is no period after the P. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, you will see this purple diagram there. And let me just say that I've had conversations with Lex about this. I know a lot of times, you know, so many people go to the website, it takes it out. So just be patient. This picture will be up there for a few days. If you go there and you're having trouble getting on the site, this purple diagram is a virtual wishing machine, and it's a large circle with a number of concentric circles around it. And this is based on a lot of ancient symbology similar to the golden mean, which is, of course, a representation of one of the most balanced forms found in nature and art. That's a whole big conversation. I know you've talked to people like Marie D. Jones about the golden mean and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So what you do is you print this purple diagram out. And, of course, well, you just need to save it onto your computer, print it out, and then you write your wish in the middle circle there. And you can either write it directly onto the things or write it on a piece of paper and stick that piece of paper onto it. And then you just put it away into some place where it will not be disturbed, forget about it, and maybe in, say, you know, if from my experience 7 to 10 days, you may have a result, and I'm asking people to email me with whatever results that they have. Now, obviously, everybody's wishes cannot all come true because, you know, some wishes contradict each other in some way, but you might be surprised how many of you listening actually do have a wish that comes true, especially if you're just trying to expedite something that seems like it will inevitably occur anyway. And so we're talking about the idea of taking two different approaches, one which is more specific and numeric and in a strange way mathematical in order to get a result, and the other, which is sort of a shortcut that generally gets you there by utilizing patterns that trigger a subconscious response in the user. That said, now I've never tried to talk about this subject on the radio because this is a weird subject. How much sense is this or making or not, George?
Huh. I like it. And maybe it'll work.
Well,
you know, is it intention? Is that why it works?
It seems to be a combination of your intention And something that we have evolved to connect with over, you know, millions or billions of years, depending on the scale, it allows the human brain to latch onto a tool so that either consciously or subconsciously your desire is able to be properly expressed into the cosmic mind. Because what we find, especially in this day and age, is that we are constantly distracted. And we have the misfortune in many ways of living in a time in which we are surrounded by advertising and marketing that is the product of extremely intelligent scientists and psychologists who have done studies and used focus groups to determine the best way to distract you. And so because of that, we have this sort of overall sense that we can't ever quite gather our thoughts together. It seems like using these devices allows you to not only gather your thoughts and focus them, but to do them in a very specifically honed way so that your desire cuts right through most of the noise out there and has the greatest chance of making an impact on the world. Because it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to do something as simple as lose weight or make extra money, or if you want to become an astronaut and walk on the moon, you don't pop out of the womb necessarily granted these things. These are things that are returned to you. There's this reciprocity, if you will, between you and the universe. But we've lost touch with how to communicate with the universe, how to get our thoughts to actually impact in a way that creates that cause and then effect that we want. And so it's not clear precisely how all this works, but it makes sense to me that the reason we look all throughout history and we see certain forms of art, certain symbols, certain diagrams, certain petroglyphs in various cultures that represent the same mathematical equations.
Can you ask for too much in a wish, Josh?
Well, yes, I think you can, George, because, we do have these realistic limitations upon us. I mean, the idea here is for you to be able to make the most of what your potential is, because that's one of the reasons we have problems with the idea of weather control. If you have a weather control machine and I have a weather control machine, and tomorrow I want it to rain and you live next door and you want it to be sunny, well, we're going to be fighting the same forces, you know, and in the long run, it's going to create a mess and maybe neither one of us are going to get what we want. So
But that's not being greedy.
It can be.
Well, it depends on how much rain you want.
Yes.
Maybe you're the reason why we're getting so much here in L.A.
Well, you know, I actually, there's a whole branch of this kind of study which is devoted to cloud busting and orgon. And I actually do honestly believe that I have been responsible for some pretty heavy rains, at least in my area, by being sort of reckless and irresponsible using an orgon device.
Really?
Yeah. It functioned exactly as it was supposed to, and in 2004, there was a great deal of flooding in my area just after a hurricane came through, and it just so happened that coincided with the same week that I was using an orgon.
That's interesting. Well, you know what? Some are saying that the use of HAARP may be one of the reasons why things are happening. Old Venezuela's Hugo Chavez thinks that some kind of U.S. military weapon caused the Haitian earthquake, as a matter of fact. Josh, stay with us. We'll continue talking about the wishing machine, and we'll take phone calls and maybe wishing stories. We'll be back. Are you a Streamlink member yet? For just pennies a day, take advantage of Streamlink, and you just get some incredible offers. Podcasting downloads, iPhone apps as well, and lots of new things they're working on right now. They had a technology meeting today, and they're working on doing some more innovative things. Absolutely fascinating. On our next Coast to Coast program, by the way, it'll be our Friday into Saturday morning show with a guest, of course, and also we'll be doing open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Let's come back and take your stories, your questions with Joshua Warren as we talk about the wishing machine. Joshua, the old saying, be careful what you wish for. How'd that happen anyway?
Well, you know, that's the idea that we have always this sense we need more, more, more. And, you know, the reason that many people who win the lottery become poor in a few years is because once you get a lot of money that you didn't necessarily deserve, then you don't know how to use it properly. The scale of your life goes up. You buy three or four houses, and the next thing you know, suddenly what was once a lot of money just becomes a little bit of money. And so that's the problem. It's in measuring these things. And I think money, by the way, George, is a great example of the idea that artistic symbols can control the way we think and behave. I mean, what is money other than a symbol? You know, it's a piece of paper. When you start, you know, thoroughly researching the history of money, there's very little to back up what is behind our money if you talk to the individual citizen who's spending it. You know, if you're out there in the desert and you've got a big pile of $100 bills and you're starving and you know, you're dying of thirst, well, that money's not going to help you. It's only when two people appreciate that symbol that it takes on any sense of meaning. And that's why that we have to be cognizant of the fact, yes, there are parameters on what wishing can get us, but everything you wish for does have a consequence. And the reason that I'm not just sitting around every day with my little wishing machine here and, you know, ruling the universe is because I'm very careful and thoughtful now about what I wish for, because I know there's a good chance that it will come true, but it comes with strings attached, and you have to therefore only use it when you really need something.
Yep. Let's go to the phones. Here we go. Aaron in Iowa, you're on with Joshua P. Warren. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I heard Josh talking at the beginning of the hour, and some of the things he talked about reminded me of things that have happened to me. Sometimes I feel like I've made things happen. Would you want me to talk about it?
Well, you called. Sure, of course.
Okay. It happens kind of unexpectedly. I kind of have a wish or a desire, and they're never really greedy. One time, I wanted to see somebody walk into the store where I worked. So as I was walking out of a freezer, I had like this mental but emotional image, and like I kind of imagined what I would feel if it actually happened. And I was like, okay, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks it'll happen. But 2 days later, the person came in.
And they come in. So that's not quite a wish, Josh, but it's close, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Aaron, you bring up a good point, because we're talking about also the idea of tapping into synchronicity. And what that means is that there are connections out there just waiting to happen to every single one of us. But if you are fighting an uphill battle, if you are working out of harmony with that structure, then you're not going to be at the right place at the right time when those connections come together. And you know, George, I found it interesting to hear you and other successful people say that, you know, when you're trying really hard to get something, it just won't come to you, but you need to relax a little bit, and then it seems to sort of flow to you. And I think that's because that when you are striving hard for a particular thing, you're tense and you're actually pushing things away. But when you relax and you become more sensitive and aware of those things around you, then you know, you are actually at that part or at that point drawing things to you. You're becoming a part of them, and you find out that if you just kind of go with that flow, the next thing you know, you snap into this synchronistic structure where you see these incredible connections coming together. And fortunately, I've gotten to the point in my life where I don't worry as much as I used to, because I realized that worrying about things pushes you away from what you want. But if you just relax, then they will come to you. And that idea of being open to that synchronicity seems to parallel your ability to take your thoughts and sort of project them into that structure so that you attract those things to you that, well, that you subconsciously desire.
Okay, let's go to Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. Diane is there with us. Hi, Diane.
This is fascinating because I caught the tail end. I've actually seen a color, very vibrant purple. I've had car accidents, and I figure that's where it's from. And you answered some of my questions that I feel very peaceful. A woman said she felt it was like that I was very spiritual. And that, like you were saying, when I'm calm or peaceful, or whether it's thoughts or prayers, it's awesome. Like that I'm not doing it as wishing, but things I have thought about have like come true, whether it be financial help for car repair. Actually, I had like a dream, and I'm seeing the connection even before I heard you speak horribly, like about Haiti, but I got the answer of how people could be helped with regards to saving kids and getting them on boats. And this happened in August, and it's more like the feeling that I get. I guess my question is, you said when you look at the symbol, is it the symbol per se, or is it the color and that sense that you would get? Like, I see this in my mind, this color,
yeah.
If you know what I mean, when I close my eyes.
Do you follow her there, Josh?
I do. And right, Diane, you bring up some really good points, Diane. And by the way, for anybody who's just tuning in and you don't know what Diane is asking about, go to coasttocoastam.com. You'll see a link there to the wishing machine. And then, actually, there's a picture, and that is linked up to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. And I have a virtual wishing machine there. And for those of you who aren't online, it looks like a purple concentric circle surrounded by a variety of other purple concentric circles. And the idea is that you put a wish in the middle, and then that wish is projected outward. Now, the reason that is purple, for one thing, is because a color is a particular color because of its frequency and wavelength. And red is a very low frequency, long wavelength. And purple or violet is just the opposite. It's a very high frequency and it's a short wavelength. And because of that, it's penetrating. As an example, something that would be closer to red that's on the long, low end of the spectrum would be a radio wave. And a radio wave, like you may be listening to right now, is about the size of maybe a house. It's a big, tall, lumbering thing that moves through mountains and so on. And then on the opposite end, closer to violet, you would have X-rays and gamma rays. And these are very tiny, penetrating rays. And those things are capable, of course, of actually allowing you to see bones in your body because they pass right through your flesh. Or the reason that, you know, gamma radiation is dangerous is because it's so tiny it can go into the atoms of your body and destroy them and mutate them. So the purple is a higher frequency. It's able to penetrate more into the fabric of the not only the biological presence around you, but you know, far into this whole realm that we connect with the mind and the mind-body environment. And so the idea is that when you put a desire, and it's one thing to want something, okay, but when you take that step of externalizing it, of actually writing it down and placing it into a situation where it is surrounded by this color and it is surrounded by this particular pattern, which is a pattern that apparently from trial and error has been found to work for many, many years. The history of these things is kind of strange and mysterious because these are the kinds of things that sort of get passed around in the field because they work and nobody seems to know exactly why. But it's taking that thing and it's expanding it, it's magnifying it, and even though we don't know precisely how it works, it seems like that having the color purple is important for the wishing machine to function. And indeed, as Diane was saying there, when you put your mind into that state of frequency, it brings you also a sense of peace when you see positive results coming back, and that empowers you, because what makes you fearful, what makes you tense, is feeling like you have no power and no control, and this is a very simple way to get you on the track of being able to see you do have some control and your thoughts do matter.
All right, let's go to Roger in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, good morning, Roger.
Hi, George. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I just like to back up Joshua on this wishing machine and add a new twist to it.
Okay.
It works with reverse causality as well. In other words, you can make the wish before you have the machine. Some decades ago, when I was a child, I came into a collection of old astounding science fiction magazines, and John Campbell, the editor, was fascinated by the Hieronymus machine. And he printed a circuit diagram of the thing and explained how it worked. And so I wished for a drafting set for Christmas so that I could, get some India ink and use the compasses and the rulers and the protractors and all the other stuff in there and construct a circuit diagram, a symbolic circuit. And then I got some silk threads from my mom and connected it to the front panel where I had some electrical stuff like pots and whatnot. And on the circuit diagram were coils and capacitors and things. And on the front plate, along with the knob, was a touch plate. So I made the machine. I never received another wish through it or another, I never was able to make it manifest something else for me. But I still have this beautiful old German silver drafting set from the 1950s. So yeah, it's a great little great machine. It's esoteric technology.
That's super. That's a great story, Roger. Thank you for that. I want you to review one more time, Joshua, to people who simply at home want to wish.
Okay, good. And one thing I will say is that if you go to coasttocoastam.com and you see the picture of the physical wishing machine there, this is the box with the knobs on it. I'm getting emails from people who are saying, I want to buy one of these from you, and I'm not selling these things. I don't make them. I mean, so, please don't write me and ask to buy one of these. But if you go there to the site, you'll see a link there to joshuapwarren.com, and there you will find a picture that I'll keep up for the next few days here on the homepage of this purple diagram. This is a virtual wishing machine. And this is also an experiment for Coast to Coast AM. I would like for everybody to go there, save this thing, save this picture, print it out, think very carefully about your wish. And you can either write it down right in the middle circle, or you can write it on a piece of paper and put it on that middle circle if you want to reuse the diagram. And then you'll see an email address there from me. And I hope that you'll email me in, say, a couple of weeks, and let me know what your results are, because it brings me great satisfaction to introduce these kinds of very simple and generally free techniques to people, and then receive these emails saying, wow, this worked for me and my life is better because of it. And to a certain extent, it's about reconnecting with the basic underlying sort of forces that control the way we think and behave. I'll give you another simple example. Let's say a person walks up to you and hurls an insult at you. You might be tempted to punch that person. Well, what if you then see the person is wearing a badge? Well, now, all of a sudden, you might think twice about punching that person.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Now, why is that? This badge is just a symbol. But in your mind, you connect all kinds of things instantly with that symbol. And that changes the way you behave And the way you behave changes how others behave toward you, and that continues into a chain reaction that apparently expands into the universe.
I've got an assignment for you, by the way. Maybe for your next one, I'm not sure if you can get this done in time. You and I have talked a lot about Robert the doll. Remember that, the haunted doll?
Yes.
Let's turn you loose on that and see what you can come up with.
Okay, that sounds good.
Get pictures of him and everything. Maybe some interviews and get him our way and we'll put him on.
Well, I can do that, and I can talk even more about some other creepy little dolls. In fact, right now, I am looking at a devil doll in the corner of my dining room. I should not have it in my dining room, by the way, George, but I do. And it's a devil doll that came from Germany. And, you know, I was on a TV program in 2005 called Possessed Possessions, in which people came from around the country with haunted and cursed and possessed items, and it was kind of like an antiques roadshow for those types of objects. And that got me sort of hooked on the idea that there are objects that can possess and hold these strange energies. So I'd be delighted to give you a report on devil dolls and other cursed items.
My little grandchild loves The Twilight Zone, and she's got an affinity for Talking Tina, that episode. And so I bought her a little Talking Tina doll, and they sent two of them. I've got one, and I'm going to play it tomorrow because it talks, and we'll put a picture of this thing up on the Digicam. But my daughter called and said that Mia doesn't want Talking Tina to look at her, and it's this little tiny doll. And I said, oh, really? What'd you say? And she said, well, I told her to put it in her toy bin. Now, this is Mia. She's a little 8.5-year-old. And she said, no, Mommy, I'm not going to put it in the toy bin. It'll crawl out at night.
It's kind of like your clown fears.
Yeah, huh? It's through the minds of kids. Joshua, thanks again for being on the program.
Hey, thank you, George. It's always a pleasure.
Joshua P. Warren with his every 2-week paranormal moment, this one on the wishing machine. And I agree with him on this one. I think you can wish and make things happen. Just don't be too greedy about it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Jason King, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Pundit, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.